Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
I feel like we just start saying hello and happy Friday. I don't remember how we kick off these episodes now anymore, even though we've been recording them for a million years.
Sometimes, you know, one's brain dips a little.
It's like how when we're doing the thing at the end of the episode about where to find us, sometimes I will just go, what is our email address? I don't even know. So this week we had this accidental two-parter on Irving Berlin, who I had kind of thought about as like sort of a low-key Christmassy episode for December because of the song White Christmas and the movie White Christmas. And then it blossomed into two parts that could no longer happen before Christmas, happened after Christmas, but not really about Christmas much at all. I do, though, want to talk about the movie White Christmas, because as we said in the episode, it's a movie that has aged beautifully and terribly at the same time. There are so many performances in it that are delightful and songs that are delightful. And also the whole movie is really about a man who feels old and sad and useless, and everyone stops what they are doing to try to make him feel better.
Right.
There's some age differences in the couples that people find a little jarring today. And then there's also that song that sort of celebrates how much they love minstrel shows. I really don't know how much influence Irving Berlin had over the plot of the movie. I did not go look into that, but realizing how soon that was to like his career winding down and how he felt about it, I now kind of see it in light of that, of like how much of this character was like sort of a reflection of Irving Berlin, wondering how many years as an entertainer and a songwriter he had left.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I had not known before this the context of Christmas being a difficult time for him. Mm-hmm. But I have always been the person who was like, the song White Christmas is not a happy song.
There are arrangements of it that are really peppy, but like it can sound wistful and nostalgic and just sad, like heartbreaking.
It's always sounded sad to me since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I always conjured this image of somebody like trapped somewhere where they couldn't get to anyone they wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like, oh, maybe that's actually kind of how the song is. It's not just your weird little gothic child read of it.
Yeah.
I had a very funny moment when we were talking in the first part of this one about wax cylinders.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea of a performer having to perform it over and over as they recorded one-offs, and how much, like, today and for a long time, right, since mass production has been a thing, like, part of what people know in learning of songs are, like, the unique breaths and phrases of a given performer, like, when mm-hmm. they sing it or whatever, mm-hmm. and how that's one of the things you notice when you go to a live show, that they do it slightly differently. And imagine if everybody had a different sound memory in their head of what it was supposed to sound like. And it's just a fascinating thing to me that there would never be one definitive version of any given song. So any changes within performances would have completely shifted it.
Yeah.
The internet would lose its mind if that were the case. It'd be like, well, mine, he breathes before the. Like, I just can't. It's so fascinating.
Yeah. I didn't realize until working on this, like, what sheet music, like, I took piano lessons as a kid. I had sheet music for things. But, like, to me, the sheet music for whatever was the thing purchased to learn to play the song for my piano recital or whatever. The idea that, like, there would be effort put into, like, a very nicely illustrated cover that was also, like, a marketing effort for other sheet music. And that in addition to people buying the sheet music so they could learn to play the thing on the piano, that they would sort of be collecting sheet music as these attractive things to have in their home. Like, that was not really a thing that had ever entered into my mind until working all on this.
I kind of had a sense of that because I remember when I was younger, when I was in my teens and early 20s, I did more of this than I have in later years. But I used to often go to flea markets and just, like, and there were instances where I would see sheet musics grouped together in collections. And, like, I remember talking to a couple of vendors who specifically did have a lot of sheet music. Remember, this is late 80s, early 90s, where they were talking about how, oh, some people like to collect, you know, all of the pieces from this publisher from this year to this year. And so I had a little bit more of a sense of it, but I didn't think about it being marketed for people to collect, if you know what I mean.
Like,
people often collect things that are not intended to be collector's items.
Sure.
But these kind of were actually designed that way from the top.
Yeah. One of the things I knew I wanted to include in these episodes from the beginning was the argument, not really argument, was Woody Guthrie's response to God Bless America. Like, as I was taking my very first notes, before I had even gone and gotten any research about this particular aspect of it, I just had in written in there, like, and the Woody Guthrie dispute. Because, man, it's, first of all, I just, the general, having a dispute between two songwriters over music, like, that in general, is like, okay, I'm into that idea. But also the fact that so many of Woody Guthrie's criticisms of the song, like, just don't hold up
to his response.
To his response in terms of writing This Land Is Your Land, especially today, especially in the, like, having today's context of things like the land back movement, you know, like, it, like, that adds a whole new layer onto what already, even without that movement that's existing now today, like, already we're, like I said in the episode, talking about a white man from Oklahoma writing about This Land Is My Land. Like, it's just a little weird.
Yeah.
Weird choice to have that be your song response.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love
into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a whole lot of Irving Berlin's like work and career and impact that I just feel like is just such a mess. And like so many things at the same time, like he really does seem to have understood and valued the musical contributions of Black performers and tried to like fight for Black performers he was working with to be respected and that kind of. But then like also.
We got to do blackface. We got to.
Yeah, that whole argument. I was like, I found an article that was just about that. And I was like, yikes, like this is full of yikes. So much yikes. But then just also, you know, casually including stuff that was stereotypical or bigoted or whatever in songs that he was writing. Like there's just a lot of it.
Yeah.
And it, even songs that like, I like Putting on the Ritz to me is a brilliant song. Like, it's got just wonderful lyrics, in my opinion. But also, like, that is a song that he wrote about, like, poor Black people in Harlem getting dressed up.
Right.
To, like, go out on the town in a way that, like, isn't necessarily read in a flattering way when you read the lyrics.
Yeah.
But the lyrics themselves are incredible, in my opinion. And also, anytime I watch Young Frankenstein.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. That was another thing I stopped what I was doing to watch while I was trying to write this. How many YouTube videos? My whole YouTube algorithm is like now just all skewed because it's full of all kinds of renditions of Irving Berlin songs.
I mean, Peter Boyle forever. So funny. I once again will say, boy, I sure wish I could get up at noon and go to bed at 5. That would be just about right for me.
Yeah, in many recent years, I have been a go to sleep fairly early, wake up sometime between 6 and 7. Like, not even on purpose. That's just, like, what my body is doing.
Now, when you say go to bed early, what does that mean for you? Because that means very different things for different people.
It means 10. I'm usually in bed by 10, maybe 10:30. D&D night, it has to be 10:30 because that's when D&D ends. And sometimes the last 30 minutes of D&D are very hard for me. But when I was younger, for a while, I was working in a spa and I was working a shift that went from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I gradually got into this rhythm where I would get off of work and treat the rest of my day as it had been if I had gotten off of work at 5.
Yeah.
Like, my evening was starting at 9 and then I would sleep really late and then I would get up and go to start my 2 p.m. shift again. And so, yeah, I like that. His like 5 a.m.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Like, that is a little too far for me, but I've had periods of my life when I've been a little bit more of a nighttime person and I can like at least somewhat see it working.
Always. Even, I know it's a terrible habit, but even like if we have like a chunk of time off, like around the holidays or whatever, where there's no obligations for several days. Within 3 days, Brian and I are on that schedule. Like, we both just tend to want to like wake up at 11 or 12, have the afternoon and nighttime, and then go to bed as the sun is coming up. I don't know why we divert automatically to vampire hours, but we both do, thankfully. I feel like I should confess that the mere mention of Ethel Merman's name made me cry in this episode.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Me either, really. I read it, was like, oh, I love Ethel Merman. And then we talked about her, and I just started bawling. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. Irving Berlin clearly loved to write songs for her.
But if you've never seen Ethel Merman sing Everything's Coming Up Roses, it's very easy to do. Just check out YouTube. And she's amazing. I also highly recommend that Gene Stapleton appearance on The Muppet Show is also very easy to find online. And it is lovely.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet. Mm-hmm. Ethel. And, you know, clearly I like the very brash singers of that era.
Yeah.
I'm like, none of the lilting, sweet voiced singers. I want Ethel Merman forever. Bea Arthur got mentioned in this episode. It's like my dream episode.
Yeah. The list of people like that was not even a complete list of all the people that performed in the 100th birthday tribute concert. But I kept finding, I was like, got to put this person in there. Got to put Jerry Orbach in there. Oh. Got to put, so many.
I know. I definitely had a sad as you read that list because so many of them are gone.
Yeah.
With only a few exceptions. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and that's like one of the, like living to be 101 years old, like at that point, pretty much everybody that he had, you know, a long working relationship with had died before he did. He by the time he died, he had this reputation for being just kind of reclusive and cantankerous isn't quite the right word, like not very personable in his last years. And after his death, one of his daughters like got really frustrated with what people's perceptions of her father had become and wrote a really I have not read it, but it's described as like a very lovely and tender memoir about how, like, totally acknowledging that her father worked all the time, but that also the, like, late years reclusiveness, like, that just, that wasn't his whole personality, and that wasn't how people who knew and worked with him necessarily would have remembered him. So, yeah, that's out there, too, if folks want to read it. One of the many, there's a long source list for this episode, and one of the many sources in that source list is the book that I mentioned. I think we quoted from it briefly in the episode, and that was by James Kaplan, called Irving Berlin, New York Genius. That is from Yale University Press, but in my opinion, it is really accessible to like non-academic readers. I know sometimes stuff that comes out from university presses can be a little dense. I did not find it to be so at all. There were some times where I sort of felt like if I were Jewish, I would have gotten some nuance that I was not getting in the way something was described. But other than that, like, I found it to be a really lovely and accessible work on him, if folks are interested in more. Yeah. Happy Friday. Based on when this is coming out, tomorrow is going to be New Year's Eve. And so we will have Saturday Classic tomorrow. And I hope whatever's going on for folks is New Year's Eve. I hope it's great. I've been in jobs where I had to work with the public on New Year's Eve. And I remember that often being a challenging thing.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever's up with you tomorrow, I hope it's great. If you're going to a party, hope it's great. If you're staying home, hope it's great. If you have to work tomorrow, I hope that's great. Whatever's happening. We'll be back with Saturday Classic tomorrow with something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.